Let me start by saying Happy New Year. We all know that we are going through the book of Luke. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit is prompting me to read to you a few verses on Psalm 116. And I will insist that you go home and read this psalm and meditate it. Because I'm going to read only a few verses. Which is, verse 1 says that, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice of my supplication. Because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. And then verse 12. They say that, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. This is New Year. This is the first Sunday of the year. Just think of where you're coming from last year. The storm, the waves which were tossed by, all the things which you went through last year. And now you are here. 2019. Just look behind. How many people you started journey with them and they are not here or wherever they are. Maybe they are still alive but they just gone away from the Lord. They are lost. But here you are. What shall you render to the Lord? What have you done to deserve this? What have we given him to give us this privilege to be before him? What have we done to deserve all this? Nothing. It's only because of what he has done for us. It's because of who he is. It's because of the cross. And that's why we will praise his name forevermore. And his praise shall continue to be in our mouth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you this morning. We love you and we love you. There is no way of expressing our love to you because you love you us the most. Your love for us, we cannot fathom it. And Lord, we thank you for the word you have for us this morning. We thank you for the way you're going to minister to us, Lord. Lord, I'm here just a vessel. Use me, Lord, for the glory of your name, for your name to be exalted. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As I said, we are on Luke chapter 2. I will not read all of it because it's a little bit long. I will be reading few verses. And when you talk about Luke, you cannot stop mentioning the birth of Christ, although it's not Christmas. But the birth of Christ is every day for me because Jesus was born for us to be free. Jesus came to us to liberate us, to redeem us. For me, I celebrate every day the birth of Christ. I don't know about you. For he is alive. When we go to Luke chapter 2, as I said, it started with the birth of Christ. The way he was born and the parents of Jesus, which was Joseph and Mary, went to Jerusalem for taxation things. And I will start reading from verse 7. Luke chapter 2, sorry. Verse 7 says that, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's stop there. Jesus, when he was born, there was no room for him. Everywhere it was crowded. Everywhere they went to find where they can have the rest, they were told that it is full. When I think of this verse, I'm just thinking of our life. Ella, when she was doing the bread, she mentioned some of the things that our life is too busy. Our life is too occupied. Our life is just chaotic, if I can use that word. We are too busy for nothing. You may think you are busy for something, but I would say we are too busy for nothing. And when Jesus was born, most of scholars, they say, in fact, it was not December as we celebrate the birth of Christ in December. It was during the April, because that was the time when the shepherds, they used to take their flocks away. And it was busy as it is Christmas in nowadays. When you go to the shop during the Christmas, you think this is the end of shopping. Honestly, I went to Asda on Friday before Christmas. It was early in the morning. I came from work and I said, let me go there to buy a few things. But the way it was full, early in the morning, it was 9. But the way it was full, I was thinking, it is not even Christmas yet. We still have 3 days to Christmas, but it was full. Everyone is running around with a trolley. Everyone is just, they are like, he thinks they are going to finish. Everyone is just being busy. That's how it was in Jerusalem when Jesus was born. Everywhere, everyone was busy. That's why there were people who heard about the birth of Jesus and those who didn't hear about the birth of Jesus. When we go to verse 8, it says that in the country there were same, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. My question or my curiosity on this verse is that Jesus was born in Jerusalem, was born in the city. Bethlehem, which is inside Jerusalem, anyway. And the people who heard the news of Jesus, they were not those who were around him. They were not those who were in the city. Why? Why? Because the angel went to the shepherds who were in the outskirts of the city and to announce those news. Why they didn't start? Because for me, I was thinking maybe like when the prince is born or princess or whatever, we all watch the news that they go from the Buckingham Palace started to announce, although we hear from the news first, but they do go, the town crier, go, that is born, blah, 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 the king. But this king, which was the king of kings when he was born, people who were around, they didn't hear this news. They decided to go to people who were in the outskirts. And those people were the shepherds. The shepherds were the people of low life. I came from East Africa where we have Maasai people. Maasai people are the shepherds. And when you see them, when I was growing up, I remember my grandmother used to joke, if I did something wrong, he used to say, I will find you a Maasai husband. Honestly, she used to say that, I will find you a Maasai husband. Because they don't dress up. There are people who we call primitive. They don't go to school. They don't have home because they move with their flocks place to place. But when Jesus was born, God chose these people to hear the news, to hear the good news. Why? Because as I said before, our life, we who claim to be civilized, our life is too overcrowded. Our life is too busy. We don't have any time to hear anything because we have too busy life. In verse 8 to 12, they say that the night where the shepherds stay in the field nearby guarding their flock sheep, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, which I've already read, I'm just repeating. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surround them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in strip of clothes lying in a manger. I read again in the New International Version so you can understand more, because I always use New King James Version, so you can understand what's going on there. The shepherds were unclean people. The shepherds were the lonely people. They just live only with their flocks, and they just, I will say, they're happy with their life? I don't know, but I think they are. Because if they are not happy with their life, they should choose to live that life. But they live in the situation where, because I know them personally, as I said, I came from Tanzania, where the shepherds, I know the Maasai people, how the kind of life they live. Sometimes they eat even raw food. While they have got a lot of flocks, if they can sell those flocks, I think they will have a lot and lots of money. But why are they not selling them? Why they choose to live that kind of life? Why are they enjoying that lonely life? Why are they enjoying that life of uncivilized? Why? But everything God does, he does it for purpose. He has reason for everything. So we who pretend to be civilized, we need to come out among them and separate ourselves from this life of busy, from this life of being too occupied, from this life which makes us to think we are civilized. Without God, there is no civilization. Without knowing Christ in your life, you may think you are civilized, but there is no civilization if God is not in our life. In Bethlehem, those who he came to him, to them, they did not receive him. He was born to redeem the mankind, to redeem the people of Israel. But where were they? Too busy. Even today, we are so, so busy with important things. God will be knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. We want to tell you something important in your life, but because we are too busy, we can't hear him. He's trying to speak to us, but we can't hear his voice. Why? Internet. Why? Facebook. Why? WhatsApp. Why? Instagram. Yeah, you reminded me. Some of them I don't even know. Why? There is a lot of things which keep us so, so busy. Tell me, be honest. I don't want you to raise a hand. How many times you look on your social media account in a day? Be honest to yourself. How many times? Even here, there are people who have already looked at it. You are in the church, but you have already just snip on it and look on social media, what is on there. But the other question, how many times do we read the word of God? How many times do we put the time aside and say, this is the time I need to spend with the Lord. This is the time which I don't need any distraction. I just want to spend time with the Lord. That is the question for you and you yourself. Because I don't want the answer. Everyone has got an answer. I've got an answer of mine. I'm not very different. I've got the answer. What is my answer is? In Revelation 3:20 say that, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. We do go to our friends. We do laugh. We do gossip. We do anything. Some of us, when we hear something exciting, we can't wait to tell our friends. But Jesus said that he will come in and sit with you as a friend. What does he mean as a friend? For me, I think when he said, I will come and sit with you as a friend, it means whatever you have in your heart, whatever you think, you can tell him. He's a friend who is closer than a brother. He's a friend who, when you tell him anything concerning you, he won't go and tell someone else. He will find you a solution, a proper solution. Not like our friends, we tell them something, they find how to make it to look even worse. But when we tell Jesus, because he said, I will come and we will share a meal together as a friend. He will come to lift up our burden. He will take away our trouble. He will take away our illnesses. He will take away whatever is troubling us, because he is a true friend who doesn't need anything from us. He needs only our trust. If we can only put our trust on him, only we can trust him, and only if we can surrender everything to him, that's only what he requires from us, surrenderness, humbleness, to know that he is there for us. He is there for us in times of need. He's here even right now. Whatever you need, just call out on him. Just open up your mouth and tell him. He's a friend who is sitting just right beside you. You cannot see him, but he is here. And if you tell him of your sorrows, all of your troubles, he will take care of it. And if God can speak to these lowly shepherds, these people, they think they were nothing, what makes you think he cannot speak to you? What makes you think you are different? If you can only be still, he will speak to you. If you can only listen, if you can only say, Lord, I know I have a very, very busy life. I know I'm too occupied, but Lord, I'm asking you to open my inner ears so I can hear what you're saying to me right now. He will speak. Because God speaks and he will continue to speak. Jim said in the morning when we were doing the prayer meeting, said that he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If he spoke to those people, he will speak to us. He has given us a job to do, to preach this gospel, to tell people of his good news, to tell people of his redemption plan, to tell people who doesn't know him how faithful, awesome, and marvelous he is. My brethren, we have to do this. No matter what comes on our way, we have to do this. And when God asks you to do something, don't think it will be easy. You will have all the obstacles which can come on your way. You will have all the powers of the hell will break out loose to try to stop you. But try to focus. Try to put on the blinders. Okay. That we won't look on right or on left. We'll keep on focused. We'll keep on running this race until the end. For we know that we have our crown waiting for us. For if we run this race, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, the Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies. Why? It's because these are the same people who will distract us. Don't expect to find a stranger who will distract you from what you are doing. The people who knows us very, very well are the people who will stop us to reach the goals which we have set for God. Why am I saying this? It's because on the same Luke chapter 2, verse 42, they say that, and when he was 12 years old, they went up Jerusalem after the custom of feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinflock and their acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when he saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is that you sought me? Will you know that I must be about my father's business? When I read this verse, I was thinking, you know, Jesus' parents, I don't think there was other people who were in a better position to know whose Jesus was, what was his purpose of coming to earth, what he was supposed to do. Because before he was born, when Mary was told about the birth of Jesus, he was told the child which was going to be born, it's going to be the Savior of the world. It's going to be the Messiah. But the same people, the same parent, they find him not playing, not wandering in the temple, listening to the word of God. The same people, they find him where he's supposed to do, to be at the time. But the same people, they're asking you, why are you here? The same people who were supposed to encourage him, maybe, for me, I was thinking maybe they should have found a space and sit with him there and encourage him to continue to be there, to grow in the Lord. But they were sorrowing. They were not happy that he was there. Some in your family, they are not happy that you become a Christian. Some people who surround you, they are not happy because now you serve the Lord. They are not happy with the path which you choose to do. But I tell you what, don't look left or right. Focus. Focus. Because when you look left or right is when distraction comes. And when distraction comes, the devil will start putting things in your head. We'll start telling you where you have gone wrong. We start telling you how the life was there, which there was no life at all before you become a Christian. But focus. Don't listen to them. That's why the Bible tells us to keep on renewing our mind. We keep on renewing our mind by reading the Word of God. Because when we read the Word of God, we have the answer when the devil comes to tempt us. In Nehemiah chapter 6, Nehemiah verse 3, we know the story of Nehemiah when he was building the temple. His so-called friends were trying to stop him. Were trying to make every distraction they can so he won't continue with the work of building the temple. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 3 and see what did he say when they tried to distract him. Nehemiah said to them, he said, so I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? They didn't stop there. They continued trying and trying and trying. They tried 4 times. And each time, Nehemiah managed to give them the same answer. What am I saying? When the devil is trying to tempt you, if your mind is renewed, give him the same answer. I'm a child of God. I am redeemed by his precious blood. So you can't tell me anything, devil. I've been there and I know. But now I am a new creation. Because when you keep on changing your answer, you might trap yourself. Tell them the same answer all the time. I am washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Sometimes we come to a situation when we don't have any word to say. When the temptation comes through our way, all things come to our way, we just come like we are trapped. We don't know what to say. But in Matthew 10, verse 19, it says that God will give us right words at the right time. That's when I paraphrase. He said, he will give us right words at right time. So if we depend on him, if we trust in him, no matter what comes on our way, he will give us right words and right time to answer. When accusation comes toward you, you ask him, he will give you right words to answer. For he is faithful, and he promised he will never leave us or forsake us. Another thing which it caught my eye in Luke is it's just people who were involved on this story. There was Elizabeth, which is in chapter 1, Zechariah, and in this chapter, there was Simeon and Anna. I was thinking, why these old people were old? Why there is no any youth on this who were involved on this story? Why? And then, again, today when we were praying, Jim gave me the answer on prayer meeting. He said, God of old generation is the same God of the new generation. He has never changed. Because he is the same. The way he works those times, he's the same he's working at this time. So we have to put all our trust in him. He is the God of Old Testament, and he is the God of the New Testament. And through Elizabeth, when Zechariah, when he said about the birth of Jesus, Pastor Rob mentioned it last Sunday about Zechariah, the way his mouth was shut by the Lord. You know, sometimes God tells us something, or he tells us about a prophet, or he tells us, but because of our mouth, we destroy it. You know, the enemy of our success is ourselves. Through the words we say, through the words which are coming from our mouth. Pastor Rob said Sunday, that last Sunday, that sometimes it is better for God to shut our mouth. Because when you have a prophecy or a promise from God, the devil won't rest. He will keep on filling your mind with negative about what you have heard. And because of our stupidity, we utter out what the devil is saying, which means we are confirming what the devil said. Instead of confirming what God has told us, we are uttering out what the devil is trying to tell us, why he's trying to distract us, and we try to say. So sometimes, as Pastor Rob said, it's good for God to shut our mouth when he has told us. Just think what God has told you he will do in your life 2019. And what is the devil is trying to tell you about that prophecy? What I'm trying to tell you is that the devil will fight against your destiny. So it's up to us to stand. And how can we stand? This is the weapon, the word of God. Because if we are full of the word of God in us, when he's trying us, we have the answer. And the answer which is coming from the word of God, the devil doesn't have any plan, any trick if you tell him about what the word of God is saying about you. He will flee. But if you keep on listening to him, he will destroy all your destiny. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2 say that, which is talking about renewing our mind, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. If our mind is set upon the Lord, we will know the will of God and we will do what He has called us to do. No matter what the devil will try to do, we will be winners. We will be victorious, because He said they overcome by the precious blood of Jesus. Without the word of God, we are lost. Without standing firm with what God is telling us, we are lost. We need to learn how to know the tricks of the evil one, because he will come like the angel of light. Because as I said before, those who will distract us, they will come among those who are close to us. And we need to be careful to answer what they are accusing us of, to answer what they want us to do, to answer what they think it's right in our life. We need to be careful. We need to seek God's wisdom to know how we can deal with this, because it is in our life day after day. We don't want, when God wants to talk to us, to go and find other people to tell them what He wants to tell us. We want to hear from Him directly. We want to hear Him talking. We want to hear His direction, because we know without Him, we cannot do anything. He is our light. He is the truth and the life. And our eyes will always look up to Him, for He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for we know when we trust in you, when we depend on you, when we surrender everything to you, you will hold our hands and you will lead us. And where you lead us, Father God, we will follow. For we know you have the words of life. In Jesus' name, amen.